Good morning, everybody. It's 10 a.m. on February 4th, 2020, and I hereby call to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors. We would ask you if you would like to join us as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. I would entertain a motion for adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda is adopted. Now we will go on to public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's any member of the public present who wants to comment on today's agenda, please come to the microphone. Seeing nobody go to the microphone, I will close public comment session number one. And agency reports, we have Elizabeth Miner from ACPC. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Okay. Good morning. So I brought some pictures for the kids this time because
Yay.
It's better than looking at me. So
the kids are right fun.
They are fun. So 2019 was a big year for us. We celebrated our 50th anniversary with a pretty exciting party and also a fundraiser. We ended up raising $23,000 to replace different equipment and toys and different things like that in our classrooms and also update our school-age curriculum. We began a three-year partnership with the Department of Education to implement positive behavior intervention supports in all of our programming. So for school age, it looks like it's aligning with what the schools are doing, and then in preschool, it looks a little bit different. And then we also updated our menu to include more plant-based options from a variety of cultures, which is good, but also some of the children are exploring new things, and that's been fun for them. And then we've been also able to procure local foods as well and introduce those in our menu at the main center. And so two of those pictures are from our party, and then one of those is on local food day with a thumbs up. It was a delicious taco meal. We made some adjustments to our sliding fee scale again. Last year we had four different levels of reduction, but this year we reduced it to just the three levels of reduction, taking out the lowest one, which is the 50%, because what we found was the families on that end were usually also students, and so then they were receiving kind of a double reduction, and also we ran out of funds very quickly, which is not something that we wanted to do. The goal was to be able to help more families. And so in this last cycle, we found that we've been able to provide support to more families than we have ever provided before, with about 30% utilization at the main center and 18% in our school age programs. So this is also the year that we have served the most children we've ever served. So right now we're at about 450 families, with school age showing a 15% growth, up to 330 children. And this is also our most diverse group of families, with 34% of Main Center families identifying themselves as non-white and 21% of school-age families. We had some big moments for staff this year. We had our Assistant Director Sandy celebrated her 30th anniversary with us, so we had a party to celebrate. Our staff were involved in various events around the city. This is a couple pictures of us at Step Into Storybooks at the event that we hosted. And then we also hired an additional staff, Joe Teen, who is going to be our second, or he is currently our second school age coordinator, to really help Allison, our current school age coordinator, to oversee those seven sites and to build quality as we also build capacity as well. Joe is a former ACPC kid. That's actually a picture of our assistant director, Sandy, doing his hair in preschool many, many years ago.
God, all of a sudden her hair got long.
So we are very happy that this has been growing for us. So we're still working on improving quality and maintaining a continuous growth mindset in our main center classrooms. All of our classrooms use the creative curriculum and also track developmental progress with teaching strategies goal. But we introduced a social-emotional component this year to our 3 to 5-year-old classrooms because we noticed in our teaching strategies observations that that was the area that the children were really lacking in the most, which ties in as well with our PBIS strategies as well. And we are still working towards accreditation. It has been a long journey, but we are very excited to hopefully submit here in the next year for that. As you know, the thing that ACPC prides itself on is getting out in the community. So here are some awesome experiences that our children have been learning studies out about in the community. So this is them at the DOT learning about roads. They learn about exercise by doing yoga at band show, going to Rhyme and Music to learn about instruments and other musical items, visiting the mail to look at the different community helpers, and then pet stores for their animal study. We go to laundromats, which might seem like a lame field trip, but it was actually very awesome. The children read Corduroy, which I don't know if you remember, but in the story he watches the dryer and the clothes going around. So the children are actually sitting on the ground drawing what the clothes look like going around in the dryers. We also did some martial arts to learn about self-awareness and self-control. And then for dance, the Robert Thomas Dance Studio did some very loud dancing for the children, which they loved. We pick up trash at different parks and areas to learn about taking care of our earth. We go grocery shopping with the toddlers, which we really thank the grocery stores for letting us bring in so many toddlers to the grocery store at once. And we also go to different pools and splash pads as well. In our school age program, we've really been focusing on bringing more relationships in. So we have Plucky Paws that comes to teach the children about how to take care of animals and what that looks like. We also have Iowa State Extension that visits. We're working on some 3D printing aspects and different things like that. And so that's something that Joe's really been taking on, is building those partnerships and getting those different partners in to provide those experiences to the children as well.
Do you have a 3D printer yourself? No.
No, but they're going to bring it with them.
Okay.
Yep. And then something new this year is that on Wednesdays the children make their own snack, which some of them really like, and others just eat parts of it, but that is up to them. For summer camp this last year, we introduced more project-based learning. So they did different studies. One of them was Hooray for Ames, based on different parts of the community. They learned about government and the different things that we have going on in our town. And then they actually made their own businesses. So the top right there is them with their donut shop. We had a bunch of student-led clubs. The most popular one this summer was Monster Club, which they researched and studied and made presentations about monsters for each other. So that was exciting for them. We improved our fire system in the building, which was original to the building, so that was a rather large project. And having a building built in the 60s, there are still a couple of improvements that we have to make, but those are some things that we are looking forward to. Our waiting list continues to be in place, the highest being in our toddler program. There are a couple of programs that don't currently have a waiting list, one being our pre-K program. It is full, but it doesn't have a waiting list right now. And then a couple of school-age sites, the Mitchell and St. Cecilia, do not have waiting lists right now. But right now there's about 80 children who could be taken off of our waiting list with an average of about 2 a day.
Why is it that toddlers are the largest waiting? What are the factors?
There are just a lot fewer spaces for them in the area, and a lot of programs don't take children until they're 3, or certainly not until they're 2, and they're more expensive to run those classrooms, and so the number of spaces even within programs that have infant and toddler programs are usually significantly smaller.
Thank you.
And we also work in the community a lot. We did the art project with Octagon for public art. So if you saw it, there was probably 100 birdhouses that the children made and painted all over town and in their yards as well. We also participate in Stephen to Storybooks every year. We do Week of the Young Child. There's the mayor read a book to the children last year. It was a good sport, doing a proclamation with us. And we also work with Story County Reads. And if you saw the news on CBS last week, we were also on TV for accessibility to child care as well. So things coming up next for us are, again, updating the original spaces that we have. We have orange carpet on the walls in our gym, which is beautiful, but maybe not the most conducive to two-year-olds. And then, again, pushing towards accreditation, continuing to improve those indoor and outdoor learning environments. And then we have still one unoccupied classroom in our main center that our board is currently working on what age group to open it as. So that is us for the year.
Okay. Any other questions?
I don't have questions. I'm just very impressed with all the number of children and families that you're able to serve and the variety of activities and experiences that you expose them to.
Thank you.
I agree with that. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Moving on, consideration of minutes from the January 28th meeting.
I move the minutes of the January 28th, 2020 meeting as presented.
I'll second.
Okay. Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Consideration of personnel actions, we have none. Consideration of claims, I would entertain a motion for approval of claims as submitted.
I so move.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Claims are approved. Consent agenda. Are there any items to pull from consent? If not, I'd entertain a motion for approval of consent items as listed.
I move approval of the consent agenda as listed.
I second.
Okay. Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Consent items. Agenda items are approved. Public hearing items, we have none. Additional items, we have none. Departmental reports, we have none. This is a really fast meeting. Other reports, we have none. Upcoming agenda items.
I don't have anything at this time.
Not at this time.
Okay. Then we move to public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. So we'll open public forum number two. Any members of the public, please come to the microphone. Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I will close public forum number two and we'll go on to liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors. So who would like to start?
I think I went first last time. Okay. Yes, I guess my schedule this week is we have the, I have a Board of Health meeting this afternoon. Excuse me. We have the county attorney finalist presentation this evening at 6 p.m. I know tomorrow we have an employee recognition, the state of the community. I believe that's at REG for the meeting for that.
Didn't it get moved?
I think it got moved.
Did it get moved from REG?
No, I meant the date.
It's in March.
Oh, is it in March? Oh,
I'll look it up and get it to us. So.
Okay, I don't have the right date, so thank you.
There were two dates that went out. I'm not sure why, because I had it on my calendar also.
Okay,
but then
okay.
I confirmed it wasn't.
Okay,
and I,
okay.
Sorry,
so
I didn't
we'll make sure that's off my calendar.
Okay.
Budget review tomorrow, and then also the compensation board meeting. What do I have Thursday? I've got a couple of things on Thursday, sorry. Oh, I actually have a roundtable discussion I've been asked to speak at the Huntsaker Center on Thursday over the lunch hour, so I'll be at that. And then we have a drainage district meeting Thursday night. Looks like Friday we have a couple department recognitions, appointment of county attorney. And then I will actually leave a little bit early on Friday. My son will be attending the Night to Shine dance, so he's got a tuxedo and he's all excited to go for that, so I will leave a little early on Friday. So that's my schedule for this week.
Well,
otherwise I'm here all day today and all other days. So,
for the most part, I'm going to be right where you are at the same time. Do have AEDC executive meeting on Friday. It just looks like we're getting the normal updates about projects that may be inquiring in the area, et cetera. I want to talk about briefly about a couple of meetings that I was at last week. Of course, we attended ISAC, statewide supervisors meeting, and we heard from a couple that I attended the meetings. One was from the new director of human services, and she was sounded quite open. She comes from Texas, and she had to answer several pointed questions about Medicaid and the privatization, and what are you going to fix? And I seem to recall one of our supervisors asking just how long are you going to put up with this before you do something about it. I just paraphrase Supervisor Merkin a little bit there. It was a great question. So
the answer wasn't so great.
I understand, but yeah. So, and then we did discuss Workforce Innovations and Opportunity Act, and there are new deadlines now that you are all aware of. I communicated with the other seven supervisors that make up what appears to now be our region for a while, and I think we're in good shape. I said that at the meeting when we were all talking, but I think our region is in good shape compared to the reorganization or the additional organization that some of the other current regions are going to need to do, but we are going to have to reappoint an entire workforce board. We are going to have to bid for that fiscal agent, and we're going to have to put out competitive bids, we being the workforce region, competitive bids for delivery of services. And the timeline that was passed out on Friday does not really still seem to meet what the reality will be if we want to make sure there are services as of July 1st of 2020. So I'll keep you informed as I work with the region's executive director to get that done. And the other meeting I want to talk briefly about is I did go down to meet with HRDA management on Friday afternoon. And we had a long and very frank discussion about providing services in Story County. HRDA is still facing financial issues. Story County continues to be the largest funder as far as dollar-wise. We also have second highest in volume of trips. And we discussed about how trips were going to have to be scheduled to make them more efficient and cost effective and begin accommodating the growing requests from the work, from the employment community. And as a result of that, I'll be sending an email out later today that we have set an open house for HRDA up here in Story County on March 4th. It will be for employers. There will be a short program, but the goal is to try and get as many employers to stop by as possible who are in need of public transportation services and try to really match up some people. We're hearing from individual employers about their individual needs, but it's a widespread. A lot of people operate, especially in manufacturing anymore. There are scattered shifts. It's not everybody starts at 7 and then goes home at 3, et cetera. And we need to get a broader idea about who might be able to say, well, actually, I'm pretty sure we'll have 4 employees that will be riding between this period of time and then match them up with somebody else. And the best time to do that is have this one meeting. So that memo will be going out before. Sandra will be asking for some assistance with this for you and from United Way, Annika, and also Brenda Dreyer over at the Chamber to try and pull that together. This is an all-hands-on-deck kind of thing. So I lied when I said I wasn't aware of an agenda item coming up. HRDA does not have the money to hopefully get for free or at very low cost a facility, you know, to hold this in. But also we'd like to do it over the noon hour. We think we'll get more people if we can give them a sandwich and
chips, for example, and there's no money, so I would be coming probably with a request, or Sandra would be coming with a request in the next week or so for about $500 or so to come in and help.
Request to whom?
To the Board of Supervisors for about $500 or so to cover those expenses. The previous boards have covered such expenses. There was a discussion on workforce, I believe, remember a year and a half ago, that was organized with the Chamber and United Way and the county. That had to do with the employment of special needs population and also some of the jobs in healthcare, et cetera. And Story County chipped in some of the money for that. This request, I believe, will be, since it's her that we're actually funding $500 for her to be able to buy the sandwiches and pay for the possible custodial fee.
We don't have it.
That we don't know. That's one of the things when I send that out is that we'll be asking. And so my first question on the email that I've already written but not sent yet is that to ask over, particularly from the chamber, from Brenda Dreyer, does she expect if we would have 50 people come or would we have 100 people? Who should we expect? Most likely, Brenda's already got a network set up of employers. I know I talked to Dustin about it when Dustin and I met yesterday trying to get as many Story County employers from outside of Ames as possible, but likely be held in Ames because that is going to be the nexus about where a lot of those jobs might originate from.
Okay. Can Herna accept private funding?
Yes, and now we can. We just have, in the last few months, set up a 501c3. Prior to that, most private companies would not just donate. Certainly, they've always been able to have private companies help pay for costs. Most have not been able to do so or been willing to do so. That will be part of that discussion on May 4th, is to ascertain exactly who's serious enough about, this is my opinion as one supervisor, who's serious enough about filling their labor shortage to help kick in.
That's exactly where I was going.
I know that. That conversation has been at the board table more than once, and we definitely had it on Friday afternoon. To let you know also, the executive board of HRDA will be meeting on February 14th in the morning, I think, or the 13th. Next time I'm in Des Moines after. And specifically, we are going to look at that financing plan. We have one pilot program going. It's actually the city of Norwalk who's pledged $40,000 to help two of their employers get transportation. And we're already learning from that. They're transporting from the south part of Des Moines down to a couple of the large produce factories in Norwalk, and they already are learning from that. So the city of Norwalk has done that for their employers, but the city of Norwalk did that as a seed to match a grant. The employers would need to pick it up long term. So we're right in line with you.
Would, in fact, some of the message, what about looking at that request to fund that you're saying you want to come to the county, the government entity, to ask if the chamber would be willing to do that with us? So it would be a public-private.
I can ask Brenda about that. She might be able, then to reach out to one of theirs. I can ask her about
that,
it. But I'd like to, we're looking at, it's 1 month from today. That's 28 days, given that February is a short month. So we'd like to make sure that we can get that set right away. So I certainly will approach that then with Brenda today. Could she help? Yeah. Could they
have any thoughts on that?
Okay. And maybe they would get one of the employment agencies. That's my most thought about if it went private. But I will let you know that about a year ago or a year and a half ago, Manpower and the Chamber did a survey. And at this point, the discussions that were had with some of the manufacturing companies in Ames and some of the big kind of more shift-based work in Nevada, there was only one company that was saying they were interested enough in paying to help
going on. We're expecting with the increased labor shortage, we're hoping some more would step up. But for today we're just talking about could we move with the cost of that to sponsor that. And I will put that in the email that's going out later today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nothing. Thank you.
Okay. First, last week I attended Nevada Economic Development Commission meeting last Wednesday. And we talked about the housing study that the supervisors are going to do, and the folks from Nevada were very glad to hear that. They had talked about doing a housing study if we didn't, so they're glad that we're doing that and including it and funding it. Last Friday, we had a reception here in this room for Jessica Reynolds, our outgoing county attorney. Her resignation is effective this Friday, upcoming Friday at noon. And to follow up, that was very well attended, and thank you to everybody who helped put that together, particularly Alyssa and Julie Erickson from the county attorney's office. It's a great event. We are then today at 6 o'clock to have a presentation from our applicant who was applied to be appointed to the county attorney's office. That's Tim Mills, who's the first assistant county attorney. That's at 6 o'clock, open to the public. 6:30 tonight, I have an emergency management jurisdictional executives training. Tomorrow, as Supervisor Heddens mentioned, at 7:30 to 10 o'clock, employee recognition breakfast here in this room. And budget options, final discussion, I believe, at 2 o'clock, and comp board at 4. And then Friday at 1 o'clock, we'll have a meeting of the Board of Supervisors to consider appointment for the vacancy in the county attorney's office. And that is going to be a full week. Mm-hmm. Next Monday, I have Conservation Board. So, anything else then? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.